Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, good sir.
I want to tell you something off the start.
Oh boy, here we go.
I've forgotten. So our intro song, which was written and performed by one of my high school and college buddies, Adam Gleckler, he messaged me. I believe he's in Charleston. I think he's moving now. But anyway, he messaged me. He's going to try to make the New Orleans show.
Oh, hell yeah. Can we get a live performance before the 1,000th episode?
Yeah.
Bring the guitar, Gleckler.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, right?
You know what would be amazing? If we could get him up there, plug in his guitar, and then just get like one of the fucking New Orleans brass bands to play behind him.
Oh, do a whole ensemble.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's get Trombone Shorty up there.
Trombone Shorty. We need, yeah, that'd be awesome. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. I'm gonna message him. I'm gonna follow up. I did
you
before.
Bet, yeah, but I mean, get it going. Don't make me hire a brass band if he's not gonna be there.
So I mean, we kind of have to write this stuff down. To be honest, we have the
you
possibility.
Getting married.
Well, I'm not getting married, so that's just not happening.
Dirt that's awesome.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but that's.
Am I gonna have to get married?
Yeah, maybe you. That's so my marriage is off the table.
Okay.
I will be coming solo, but we've discussed.
I can't believe Isla's just not going to fucking full-time 24/7 daycare for the weekend.
Dude, can I share something about her daycare today?
Here we go.
No, this is pretty funny. This is actually hilarious. So I drop her off today and I'm like, oh, how many kids you got? And so they're like, well, we got 6 in this room right now. We're expecting 8. And I said, I thought you guys were real busy last week. You had 10 in this room.
She's like, all the kids are at Burning Man.
Yeah, basically. She said, one dropped out. And I said, they're like, one yanked their kid out like instantly last week. I go, why? And the woman who works there, by the way, great staff. I love these people. She goes, because of bum art. And I go, excuse me? Bum art? And they do all these little art things, you know, where they grab the kid's hand, they grab their feet, and they just the kids like it, even though they're babies. And she goes, well, we do a thing where we're like, we put the thing on their butts, and it's bum art, and we're just, you know, it's just for fun. And a mom called, actually, a mom emailed.
Their naked butts?
Yeah, I think, I assume. You know, they're getting changed all the time anyway.
Yeah.
A mom, and they showed me a picture, you know, it's just the little baby asses. I guess some woman emailed instantly and said how highly inappropriate that was and just yanked the kid. I could not stop laughing. Because of bum art. And the kid had been there a few months. It wasn't like a brand new kid. So some mom was so angry because of their
baby. You ruined my kid.
I mean, seriously. So I'm like, this kid is probably 4, 5, 6 months old. I already know this kid's life's going to suck.
Yeah.
Because don't you remember, I was telling them after they told me that, I said, I remember vividly in grade school, we'd make fun of and basically bully. If a kid's parents were crazy, then the kid gets shit on.
Oh, of course. Of course.
So this kid's going to face that her whole life.
Do you remember when kids, you remember like middle school, Like you really first, you know, you're not doing like a ton of like sleepovers when you're like real young, but you sure. get into like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. You're going to your friends' houses for sleeping. You learn that their family's crazy. This is the first thing you do. You come back to school. You're like,
bro, I know
the Carton's house is fucking.
I know.
They have ferrets living in their basement. No, like no one cleans anything. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're the fucking gross kids.
I know.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what we used to do? We used to do rip wars in the fifth and sixth grade. It was almost just
like roasting each other.
Yeah, it's basically roast battles, yeah. But you'd pit it and it would get personal. And it's 99% it was based on family stuff.
Yeah.
Or going to somebody's house.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they
had their ugly sister.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I'm just thinking, this kid's ruined. This kid, I already know this kid is ruined. And ironically, we just watched the episode of Black Mirror, which I'd already seen before, called Archangel, last night, where it's about an insane helicopter parent and the repercussions of from a baby to a high school kid, what happens. But I don't want to give it away. But yeah, dude, I couldn't stop laughing. They were like, bum art. I'm like, bum art?
When you first said that, I just assumed they had like homeless people coming in and like doing paintings for the kids. Stop grooming my kid to be homeless.
Which would be a nice gesture too.
Yeah.
That's like a Tyrone Biggums when he speaks to the class for the first time in one of their Chappelle sketches. Anyway, that gave me a good chuckle today. So parents, don't be crazy. So next time somebody's like, oh, you're helicoptering, I'm like, ah, no, there's helicopter parents and there's helicopter parents.
Yeah. I do a new joke about the people that complain about all the stuff. Like, I don't want my kids being around this, and I don't want my kids being around that. I won't give away all the jokes, but I'll give one away because it is the Dirty Sports Podcast after all. But one of the punchlines is like, you know, the parents like, oh, you're grooming my kids to be gay. My parents let me watch Top Gun every single day for 250 straight days. If you could groom a kid to being gay, I'd be gay.
That's hilarious.
I got groomed into having this mustache by Goose. But I didn't groom into fucking shirtless standoffs in locker rooms, clamping my teeth at guys.
Or
that's right, Iceman.
Volleyball scenes.
Yeah.
In jeans.
Yeah, I wasn't sitting in class looking at the algebra board going, I'm getting a hard on.
You got to bring back the furry.
The furry bit?
About, you know, you're like... at the Phillies game and the Fanatics dancing in the dugout. You're like, man, I got a massive erection.
Yeah. Bring that. We'll bust that out in New Orleans.
Yeah. No, you should.
When I first started doing that, no joke, the first time I started doing that bit was like, it's one of the first, I would say it's one of the first 6 to 8 bits I ever wrote. And we were talking about early 2000s, like literally maybe like 2000, and like you couldn't say, like, no one knew what a furry first. I had a 2-minute explanation what furries were.
Yeah,
you know, now people know. Like, I should bring it back now that people know what a furry is. At the time, people were like, what are you talking about? I was like, yo, people dress up in mascot outfits and fuck. Like, you guys are aware of it? They'd be like, no, they don't. Like, I swear to God, they do. And I want to know how it first happened. I want to know how kids get into that.
Yeah, that. I'd love to. Now you're reminding me of some of my early bits. And then, I'm thinking about, I had a Teddy Ruxpin bit. Remember Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah. I was just talking to Teddy Ruxpin the other day with Chris Wilde because we did his bear game, Bear in Mind.
I was talking about how you remember, I don't even remember, the tape was in his ass.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
And I think my bit was just how gay Teddy Ruxpin was because you had to like fingers. I mean, it was just like, it was such a stupid bit how like, dude, you had to just like tickle his ass to get him to talk. And like, that was just a ridiculous bit. I also had a bit, my buddy saw Seinfeld. This is right after I first started. And he texted me and he was accusing Seinfeld of stealing my open mic bits.
That's amazing.
I had a bit about the, and it was a good bit for early in my career. It was about the terrorists. They used to always show them doing the monkey bars.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And that was my bit of like, I'd set the premise of like the training camp for, you know, Al-Qaeda. And they're like, you know, and I do my terrible Middle Eastern accent where it's like, we got to learn AK-47 training, how to set off an IED. And my bit was like, but most importantly, how do you do on the monkey bars? And like, that was my thing. And I guess Seinfeld did have a bit at that time that was very similar about like, dude, why are they always doing the monkey bar? My buddy texted me, you know, saw him at some big theater. He's like, he's stealing your shit. I'm like, well, to be fair, man, it's not the most.
To be fair, it's the only clip we ever see of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the most original person. Probably a lot of people thought about the same premise. I think they're showing them on the monkey bars a lot.
Some people would be like, look, wow, what a, you know, some. For some people, it would like raise your ego. You're like, I'm living in the same comedic sensibilities as Seinfeld. I actually think that this should make everybody listening think Seinfeld's worse.
100%.
2001, he had the same ideas as Reuther at an open mic. Yeah, so you guys ever take a disgusting shit after Taco Bell? You ever notice when you eat a chalupa that you poop water?
You beat me too. I was going to say, if Seinfeld was doing Taco Bell bits. Well, guys, if you want to see some bits, you need to come to New Orleans. I got it up on the screen. comedy.house/tickets. December 16th will be live podcast, live comedy show. Two live comedy shows, correct?
Two live comedy shows. And honestly, I don't want to say this fully because it's not going to be the case, but if you're the kind of person who would sit through the same jokes twice, I'm definitely going to do different shows. I mean, obviously not wholly different shows. If I'm going to do 45 minutes or whatever, it's like I only have so much material. But now we're talking about all this stuff, I might have to break out like some throwback bits. Oh, maybe, yeah. Break out, like, I don't do impressions when I do stand-up, but like, are we going to do a sports impression section of the thing?
You should do impressions, though.
I mean, if I did impressions that the world knew, like, listen, if everyone in America knew who Bill Walton was, I'd be fucking, what's his name? You know, what's the impressionist guy that does Gruden?
Frank Caliendo?
Yeah, it'd be Frank Caliendo if Bill Walton was like the Monday Night Football guy.
Yeah.
Caliendo's actually good. I did a show in Irvine recently. They asked us to do the 10 o'clock and Caliendo was doing the 8 o'clock. He's fucking good. Like, yes. I couldn't do impressions for, oh, like, to do that for a whole show. I couldn't like do it with my soul, but like the ones he does well, he really does well. Some of them good. Blend into each other, but he does some good ones.
100%. Yeah. So get your tickets. Come on down there, boss. I mean, we could have some impressions. We have, if Gleckler comes, we can get the original, the guy behind the song, yeah. Which a very, very divisive song at this point with the Dirtball fam. You either love it or you hate it. It's like a politician at this point. Dirtballs want some change. Some Dirtballs want to keep the old school. So come to New Orleans, make that happen. We're like, I don't know. Couple weeks away from football. I wanna hop into this. I know we talked about it last episode.
Is it September 7th? Is that day one of football?
Yeah.
So it's a week from Thursday. We're 10 days away from football, basically.
Yeah, the NFL is really buying into the Lions, giving the Lions that spot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the NFL is buying into the
hype.
They don't have to buy in. They just see who everybody else is buying into, and they fucking they're on Lions Reddit too. At the end of last year, when the Lions missed the playoffs, and Lions Reddit was like, next year winning the Super Bowl, the NFL was like, nah, we should put them on game one, let them get blown out 46-6, crush their souls.
I know. It's
did you watch
nuts.
Any college football this past weekend? Did you watch any week zero football?
I okay. So full disclosure, I did have, because I had Isla all Saturday, I did have the Notre Dame Navy game on in the background.
I tuned in for a little bit of Notre Dame Navy.
You know, it was in Ireland. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to see. Not a fun game to watch, but, you know, cool that it's in Ireland. So that's about all I watched. And then I wanted to watch, out of curiosity, I wanted to watch Aaron Rodgers against your Giants, but I fell asleep. Like, we were taking like a
I turned it on to find out that the Giants weirdly weren't playing anybody.
Yeah, they didn't play anybody.
I mean, I know they gave some guys some run the week before against Carolina, but I was like, oh, when I was watching Hard Knocks and Salah was like, everybody's playing the last game. I was like, oh, cool. At least we'll get one drive of, you know, Rodgers versus our starting defense. We'll get one drive of Daniel Jones versus their starting defense. No. We played neither, which is like fine with me. I you know me.
I think that's a move now for most teams.
I think you know me. I don't think your starters, unless you're evaluating them in any sort of way, I don't think your starters should see 1 second of preseason snaps.
Sure.
Unless they're a guy who's like, I need to, you know, if you're a quarterback or you're a receiver, you're like, or running back, and you're like, I need a little live action. But if they're like, I'm good, I would be like, you're good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Historically, how many huge injuries have we had in the preseason? If you go back 15 years when it was way more normal for those guys to play. I mean, I saw seasons at full like franchise seasons, like, oh, franchise. The Jets are a great example. I think Pennington got hurt in a preseason game.
Well, I think there's a good discussion.
Chad Pennington, underrated. Let me just say that.
He's a decent quarterback.
He was a decent quarterback. He's another guy that the Jets fucked.
The pride of Marshall. Him and Moss played together, right, at Marshall?
Yep.
That's a nice little duo.
He didn't have a strong enough arm, but he also, like, he moved pretty well. He, you know, I think the Jets should have done more with him. I think, honestly, I think where the Jets missed out, the Jets didn't start him early enough. He was on the team for that run that they made with Testaverde. I think he would have been better than Testaverde.
Well, you know what's crazy? Just quickly pulling up his numbers. He was ahead of his time in a lot of these years in completion percentage.
Yeah, because he didn't have the greatest arm, but he completed his passes.
You know,
it was real West Coast. It was real short routes. He's very modern.
He led the NFL twice
in
completion percentage as a starter.
Chad Pennington, underrated.
Chad Pennington was second in the MVP voting 1 year? No. I mean, look, dude, here's the thing with him as a starter. Overall winning record in his career. But he got hurt, man. That's the thing.
I think once a week, Andy, whether it be Mondays or Thursdays, I think we need to start having an overrated, underrated weekly segment.
I'm here for it.
I'm just here as a guy. So here's something with growing up a New York football fan. No hatred of the Jets for me. In fact, I've told the story on this show before. Technically, I started as a Jets fan. I was a Jets fan for a hot minute as a kid. Always watched the Jets. I mean, they were on like pre-DirecTV, pre-The Ticket, pre-all that stuff. Like, you just watch your local games. So you'd watch the Jets game and you watch the Giants game every fucking weekend. And I rooted for the Jets. The Bro, Jets, man. The Pennington's underrated.
Here's a wild one for you. In 2008, he was second. 2008 MVP voting. Now, the guy who won ran away with it, but listen
to
this.
Who won in 2008?
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
But listen to this voting. Manning, Pennington, Michael Turner, remember him? He was hot for a minute for the Falcons running back. Fourth, James Harrison. Fifth, Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
So we talked about the Trey Lance thing, obviously, last episode. But after the show, he ends up getting traded to the Cowboys, and just more and more just keep coming out. And what stuck with me was what you said, and I really fully agree now, as far as everyone is just dunking and dunking, worst bust ever, worst decision ever by Lynch, the GM, by Shanahan, the coach, all these things. But like you made the point, dude, they can take all those other guys. They're a game away from the Super Bowl every year since they drafted Lance. I just, to me, people are idiots. Like who gets them to the Super Bowl that they would have taken? Now we've discussed possibly Mac Jones, but that's a question mark too.
Certainly a question mark. But I think that the simplest way to put it is that you go back to the Super Bowl they made with the against the Chiefs. They felt like they lost that Super Bowl with not like poor quarterback play. Jimmy G didn't play bad, but they've like Niners fans, Niners front office, Niners players. There's some part of them that think they just didn't have a good enough quarterback in a game where you're going against Patrick Mahomes. It's a very similar situation to the Rams. Like they had the team, but they didn't have the quarterback, and they went out. The Rams went out and gave up a ton of draft capital and got Stafford and won the Super Bowl. The Niners did not do that. Now you can dunk on Lynch all you want for not taking those three first rounders and going to get player X on a team, going to get Tom Brady and not letting him go to the Bucks, going to get Matthew Stafford and not letting him go to the Rams, going to get whoever the case may be. They also thought, we have a young team. This could be something that we build for the future. Yeah. If we get a young, good quarterback, and they traded to try to make that move. The idea that we're going to dunk on them for not having Kyle Pitts is ridiculous. They needed a quarterback and they took a shot at one and they whiffed. It happens a lot.
A lot. But again, my response keeps being, guys, they were a game away from the Super Bowl every year since they drafted him. So this idea that like, what a debacle. No, a debacle is the Raiders drafting Jamarcus Russell and then sucking. The Niners have never sucked. They've been right there. Again, this year, right? The Niners are literally a top five pick to make it to the Super Bowl, according to Vegas. So all these
people. And a lot of people think they're still a quarterback away. A lot of people don't believe in Brock Purdy,
which is fine.
A lot of people obviously don't believe in Sam Darnold. A lot of people don't believe in Trey Lance when he was there. They obviously don't believe in Trey Lance. The question is, you know, can you really be upset that everybody thinks the same thing about it and they're trying to figure out how to do it? Now, if I'm a Niners fan, I could be upset that it was the obvious answer was right there, just like the Rams. You made the Super Bowl. Go get a veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
Go get a veteran quarterback that some team whose shit is wasting away with. You know?
No, 100%. But yeah, I don't get the, like, they took a huge gamble. I mean, it was a huge gamble. The guy played one college game. One. Right? No, I'm sorry. He'd played one in 2020.
Right. The other thing with their coaching situation in Kyle Shanahan is that he might put together a good offensive scheme. He might be shit at evaluating quarterbacks. He might be. It's possible. Supposedly, he was like Mr. Boner for Kirk Cousins. There are guys out there like Pete Carroll saw Geno Smith and was like, give me him. And it's hard to argue that Geno Smith isn't the best quarterback on the Niners roster last year and this coming year with the way he played in Seattle. Now, you could say that's coaching as well. Obviously, they're putting him in a situation there, much like they did Russ, where they're like trying to play defense and run the ball and whatever. But like, the Niners can do that too. Like, Shanahan could be shit at evaluating quarterbacks because it feels like there's guys out there who have been available that you could go and plug and play and have already won a Super Bowl. But I don't think you can shit on them for knowing that their issue is quarterback and trying to do something about it.
But they also hit on Purdy. So to me, it's like...
They hit on him, or did they? You know, he looked good for seven games.
To be determined. Yeah, he looked, right. looked great in eight games. But no, I get that. But my point is, they've hit on him so far. He went 7-1 as a starter. Now, look, I don't know what happens to Trey Lance. He's so young. Obviously, he goes to Dallas. He's just going to sit. I believe he'll be a third stringer there because Cooper Rush is the backup, and he's played well in his backup role for the Cowboys. I don't know. I mean, they took a huge swing, But sometimes you have to take huge swings in life in general.
Who did? The Niners or the Cowboys?
The Niners.
Yeah.
They took a huge swing, but also it was a shit draft class for quarterbacks.
Right.
Like I don't know why everyone's forgetting that. After that was what, Trevor Lawrence was number one? Right?
I think so.
Like, who do you have after that?
I mean, that was the Mac Jones, Trey Lance draft class. Like, I don't know who else went in it, but those were the guys.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3. So the only one who's panned out so far is Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
You could argue Justin Fields 11.
But the way Justin Fields has thrown the ball.
True.
Is there any sign that Justin Fields on the Niners, that they would have been in the Super Bowl last year?
No.
Obviously, at this point, you would take Justin Fields and Mac Jones over Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. But I think I've been clear about this in my years on the Dirty Sports podcast. I talked about it with the Colts and Jacoby Briscoli. I've talked about it with other teams. Like, if your defense is there and your running game is there and you've got the coach, why are we playing this fucking draft class game? Go get your quarterback.
Yeah.
Was I not on this show screaming that the Colts, the second Andrew Luck retired, should have made an offer to the New York Giants for Eli Manning and put him in fucking 18 and been like, let's go? But instead, they played the fucking game. Then they waited. And then they got guys who were past that. They got Phillip Rivers 2 years later. Was I not on the show when the Vikings and saying the Vikings should give everything to get Phillip Rivers? This is 5 years ago now. You're right there. You made an NFC championship game. Go get Phillip Rivers. Oh, well, you know, we really like what Kirk Cousins is doing, never making the playoffs in Washington. If you're right there, look at what the Bucs did, dude. The Bucs thought they were right there. They went out and they got fucking Tom Brady and Gronk.
Well, I think, you know, right now at this point,
the Jets feel like they're right there.
I was going to say,
Aaron Rodgers.
The blueprint right now is the Bucs and the Rams. They both won Super Bowls.
A quarterback in the NFL at this point is like Randy Johnson at the trade deadline. If you're right there, go get the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're Houston? Go get him. Oh, you're the Diamondbacks? Go get him. It's Deion Sanders.
Sure.
But it's a way more important position. The Jets did it absolutely right. Does it pan out? I don't know. But it's going to pan out a lot better than like drafting another quarterback this year.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. And if you look at both the Rams and the Bucks, they had defenses, right? So you come in, it alleviates some of that pressure on the quarterback. And let's not forget, maybe we need to remind our friend Jameis 101. The Bucks D gave up so many points. And then Tom Brady comes along, and everybody always said they're a good defense. They're just being put in terrible positions when he turns the ball over, and they're, you know, always
not
back
off the field for fucking 3 seconds.
Yeah, and they're suddenly, you know, they got 20 yards to the other team's scores, and they're doing that nonstop. And then, let's fast forward 1 year. 1 year, what happened in that Super Bowl? The Bucs defense absolutely lit up Patrick Mahomes. And that is what the Jets are doing. And we'll see. That's why it'll be a –
That's worth the fucking draft capital. That's 100%. Worth the swing.
100%. You know, I'm seeing all this stuff.
These guys are young.
I'm seeing all this stuff about the Rams. I don't know if you've seen much. And, oh, they're so young. And, you know, they only have two starters from the Super Bowl team that just won on defense. Dude, if they suck for 4 or 5 years, who cares? They got a chip, man. First of all, I don't know why Matt, I don't know if you saw this. I didn't even read it. I'm not going to listen to it. But the headline was like Matthew Stafford's wife, who apparently has a podcast, which right. is hilarious. So his wife is talking how he's not gelling with the young receivers. And I'm just like, first of all, if you're Matthew Stafford, you're like, stay in your lane. This is Mahomes' little brother.
Yeah. Oh, you mean for his wife?
Like, you're on a podcast talking about how I'm not gelling with my receivers, or, you know, when you come home, what do? We always bitch to our significant other about work. That's what we do, whether you're a quarterback or a doctor or a nurse or whatever. Right. So Stafford's coming home and he's talking about work and he's saying, I'm not gelling with these young guys. And she's going on a podcast talking about it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But my point is they got a championship. They might be down for a few years.
I just think that when you're right there, it's the move. Obviously, it worked for the Rams. Obviously, it worked for the Bucks. The Jets took the right swing. If you're not right there, it's a terrible move. If you're not right there, don't go spending, because you have to be you have to be in the position to win, or else now you're just overpaying a quarterback. I would say the Russell Wilson situation is a great example of that. Don't do it with the wrong guy. The Vikings is a great example of that, you know. But this all started with Trey Lance. It's like Trey Lance, like they took a shot.
Yeah.
And hopefully they learned their lesson in that. Listen, if you go out there this year and you go 13-4 or whatever with Brock Purdy and you lose in the second round of the playoffs, go get a guy, dude.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, who's that guy? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. It's not fucking Kirk Cousins.
So we have three rookie quarterbacks that will be starting. Am I missing any other ones? I don't think I am, which is pretty crazy. So you have...
Well, the three big-name rookie quarterbacks are starting.
Yeah, so C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young are all starting week one. Which, talk about being thrown into the fire, especially in the NFL. But I want to pose this question. Who has the better career? And I know we're just way early on this, and it's difficult to determine. But I think circumstances matter. I think where you go matters. The coaches, the program, the history, all that matters, right? So, again, you have C.J. Stroud on the Texans, Anthony Richardson on the Colts, and Bryce Young on the Panthers. So, you have big school guys, too, which you and I always have this discussion, right? Coming from big schools, you have Ohio State.
Florida and Alabama. Yeah. It's hard for me because... Listen, I'm like a do not draft an Ohio State quarterback guy. I'm out on CJ Stroud. He's on the Texans. It's a bad situation.
Yeah.
He's an Ohio State quarterback. I'm out on CJ Stroud. Leaves me with Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. My instinct is to say Bryce Young. I've watched him a little bit in the preseason. They had a game against the Giants. He's had moments. Not to be cliche, you're the one that said it, and I talked you out of it. It seems like his height is more of a factor than it is for other guys. I want to say Bryce Young, but I'm going to say Richardson.
Ooh, I'm going to say Bryce Young. For the same reasons I'm out on CJ Stroud. I'll repeat what we said last year. The most touchdown passes, and for the record, Burrow doesn't count. Like when people try to, like, Burrow didn't start there, guys. He left. So I just want to get that caveat out of the way. Burrow does not count. You can't claim him Ohio State. He's LSU. But the most touchdown passes as an Ohio State quarterback in the NFL history is Mike Tomczak. That's a wild stat you guys can repeat. Ohio State quarterbacks are busts traditionally. Like there's just a long history of it. So I'm out on him. Richardson, I don't know. I just think he's so raw.
That's the thing. I'm going with the wild card. I'm going with the wild card here. My instinct was Bryce Young. I watched Bryce Young at Alabama, and I was like, he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. We'll see. We'll see. The snippets I've seen of him this preseason, he didn't look as good as I'd like him to. And for that reason, I'm going with the third guy who's a total wild card. Anthony Richardson is either going to be far and away the best of the three or an epic bust. But I'm a gambling man.
New coach. Team that's kind of been kind of wondering, you know, since Luck left, they're just kind of there.
Yeah.
Crazy owner. I mean, yeah. Jim Irsay is a notorious drunk, pill popping, just wild card.
Hey, listen, we're not, this is not a judgmental podcast when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, you know, you do what you want. I don't give a shit. I'm just saying, that guy's my owner.
Yeah.
He's a wild card. So I'm sticking with Bryce Young, and also he started real young, right? Like he's had these pressure-filled games. I know it's Alabama, and I know he's surrounded by just insane NFL talent, but he started pretty young, but that'll be a fun story.
The coaching situation in Indianapolis does scare me, but like, we don't know anything about any of these coaches essentially.
No.
So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to say, oh, like this offense and these guys and whatever. But I didn't love Philly's offense last year. It's for as good as they were. I just think they bullied a lot of teams. I think there was a big divide between the talent on Philly's offense and the talent on a lot of the teams they played defenses. I just didn't love the amount of times that it was just, you know, third and eight, and they're just like chucking the ball down the sideline to those two big receivers. It felt uninspired to me. So, but you know, I guess Anthony Richardson, if you were going to play us a quarterback in the same style that you played Jalen Hurts, that's a good guy to have. I'll go with Anthony Richardson. Big question marks around all of them.
100%. So Josh Jacobs signed a deal with the Raiders. He's reporting, and we've come full circle, Joe. We had so much discussion about these NFL running backs. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley,
Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott,
Dalvin Cook, all these guys. Well, guess what? They all took the deals. You know, it's a one-year deal. He can make up to $12 million. I think he's guaranteed like $10 million. But again, it just shows you had no leverage. Sorry. Like the value of the running back, I would argue right now, is at an all-time low. And I don't see it ever increasing.
There was a pre-girly low as well. There's a pre-girly Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey. There was the run with, when you look around those Super Bowl teams for a while, with you know, the Broncos, with the Giants, with the Patriots, with, you know, obviously you had Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks. You had was Ray Rice on the Super Bowl team? I think he was, right? Ray Rice was on the Super Bowl Ravens team. But like otherwise, that was kind of the era that started the devaluing of the running backs. I think before we had a big burst of like really, really explosive and talented guys, that might have been a little bit lower. But now it's lower in that everybody's on the same page about it. All these teams essentially are kind of colluding about it. You know, we're not going to pay over this much, so no one needs to.
Yeah.
I go back to what I said. It's like, I understand the business of it. I would never want the Giants to give Saquon Barkley $20 million a year. But at the same time, it's almost like when you look at a football team, there's the quarterback's room, and there's the receiver's room, and there's the running back's room, and there's the D-line room. It almost feels like there should be that within the NFLPA. Because you guys, like the career path for a quarterback versus a running back, or a D-line versus a running back, it's like, it's unbelievable. Can you imagine if they're like, quarterback's values, a quarterback has zero value after 5 years, so we're just going to play you until you're worn down physically and then get rid of you? And we never have to give you that first contract?
But see, the problem is, you just see it time and time again. The guys you just plug in at work, you know?
My point is, look at – dude. You know who's going to be the first pick in every single fantasy draft this year?
I think that's changed. I think you're saying running back.
Well, okay, so Justin Jefferson might be the first pick in a lot. But one of the first players, a top five pick in every fantasy draft is going to be Bijan Robinson. They're going to be like, he's playing day one. So day one, he's going to go to the Falcons. They have a quarterback question mark. They're going to run the fuck out of the ball with him. He's going to be a fucking star if he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
He's going to put up numbers if he doesn't get hurt. And he might never, ever get a first contract. A first contract. Just his rookie deal. It's a fucked situation.
It is, but again, that's the market and that's the value. Again, how many guys come in, a no-name, a late draft pick, an undrafted guy, and just get 1,200 yards? You know, you're like, you see this happen all the time.
But those guys don't get in it either.
No, they don't.
It's like, you know, imagine being a lawyer and you're a first year fucking lawyer and you're the guy who has to work 80 hours a week. You do it because you think you're going to be a partner one day. If they were just like, oh no, that's, you just come in, you work 80 hours a week for 5 years, and then you're done in law, you'd be like, I'm never going to be a lawyer. Who would ever sign up for that? It's the one position in the sport where they do that. You get to start day one. You immediately jump to the top of the depth chart. High usage rate. Rookie pay. Beat you to the ground.
I know, but so we just talked about the blueprint to win Super Bowls, and we're talking about the Bucs and the Rams, and the Jets are trying that. You just said the blueprint for all those teams that won Super Bowls. They didn't have high running back drafted. They didn't have, you know, I mean, shit, dude. If I asked you right now, of all those Patriots Super Bowls, how many different running backs have? The only one that was like a stud beast, I would say borderline Hall of Famer, Corey Dillon, right? And they had him for what, a couple years. I just think that it kind of proves the point.
Wasn't Steven Jackson?
But I think he was more on the decline. My point is,
yeah, of course he was on the decline. They take the guys who are on the decline. The Leonard Fournette went to the Bucks. Blunt went to the Eagles.
Patriots.
Yeah.
And the Patriots too.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, well, that team beat the shit out of you and was never going to give you a big contract. So now if you're going to come play for a shit contract, you may as well come play for a shit contract in the Super Bowl.
My point is this isn't going to change. There's nothing in this system that's going to change.
My argument is that
how would it change?
The NFLPA should be having some conversation about the average lifespan of position groups and how quickly a player gets up for their new contract. Listen, this is a great transition into a baseball conversation, but there's rumors the Mets are going to trade Pete Alonso. Meanwhile, Julio Rodriguez signed his extension as a rookie. He signed his extension his rookie year. Oh, now he's fucking dominating in Seattle. And now Seattle's making a charge.
First place.
Yeah. And he's got 50 home runs. And the Mets are like, maybe we're going to trim. Are we going to give him that first contract?
Is Kermit the Frog running the Mets now?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's the situation that you look at in baseball. Baseball is the same thing. They now essentially have control over these guys for so long. There's a good majority of baseball stars now who will never get anything but that one contract. They'll get the one. The Albert Pujols second deal, the A-Rod second deal, none of these guys are getting that. Bryce Harper's not signing another $200 million deal.
Yeah, but come on. That's my point. You just got 10 years, $200 million.
But I'm saying they're all going to get the one deal. In the NFL, if you're a running back, you don't even get the one deal.
But again, you have to understand the Todd Gurley's of the world, the Le'Veon Bell's of the world, they've showed you why they don't do that.
The reason that they're not going to get the one deal is their value is only in their early years.
100%.
So give them the opportunity to get money in their early years. If Bijan Robinson runs for 1,500 yards this year, he should be able to be like, fine, I'm not playing next year for $970,000.
Well, and he can. He can do that. He can sit out. I mean, that's an option. I think there's strength in numbers when you boycott. Now, if Saquon and Josh Jacobs and Dalvin Cook, now if these guys said we're not going to play, could it do anything if they all banded together? I don't think it would. I don't think it would even matter.
What I think it is, I think it needs to be a more of a across the players association, because there are benefits for other guys too. You know what I mean? It's like, make it a situation where, why are all players treated the same when they're not used the same? Jordan Love can come into the league and not play a single snap for four seasons. Now he's going to play, and if he plays well, he's due for his first big contract a year into his usage. A year? But Bijan Robinson's going to come into the league. Right, I'm saying. So change it by positions.
But it's also the nature of the game, you know.
D-lineman also, the same thing. You're not playing D-line for 20 seasons. Dude, look at J.J. Watt. Dude's retired.
Played a while.
Played a while, but he didn't play fucking. He's not having an Aaron Rodgers career.
No, he played 12 years. No, I get it. But that would be on the negotiations from whether it's the players union or their agents.
Yeah. Well, I think it should be a players union thing because the agents just got to say, I think the players union say, hey, like the minimum years you have to play before you get a contract should be based on the average lifespan of that position group.
Good luck with that. I'm just saying, like, the NFL, if there's one thing the NFL owners don't want to do is give up more money ever, ever.
Right.
I mean, look at these guys. These guys.
The Hollywood studios don't want to give up money either. That's why there's a strike.
Yeah, that hasn't seemed to work in the NFL so far.
Well, it's worked to some degree.
You know.
It's worked in certain things.
I mean, these guys are just old dudes who don't want to give up their money. They want everything paid for. They want the counties and the taxpayers to pay for their stadiums and their upgrades and the threats to, we'll leave. So you mentioned Pete Alonso and the Mets situation, which, of course, you brought in the Julio Rodriguez situation with Mariners. First place, the latest they've been in first this late in the season since the 2003 team.
Yeah.
Shows how bad the Mariners have been.
Listen, you know me. When I love baseball, I watch baseball. I want to have a rooting interest in baseball. The Mets have there's nothing to root for with the Mets right now. We can get into the Pete Alonso situation in a minute and why that's a marquee reason that highlighting one of the things that are making me upset about the Mets right now. But I like having a rooting interest in baseball. I root for the Orioles. I have forever in the AL because I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Yankees. Fuck Canada, you know, fuck Tampa Bay. Like, I've been an Orioles. Orioles were my AL team forever. I used to have beef with some Seattle folks. They all, for the most part, I'd say 95% of the ones that I had issues with apologized to me, said that I was right and they were wrong about Russell Wilson. And now I can accept Seattle back with open arms. I've always loved the Mariners. Ichiro is one of my favorite players of all time. Ken Griffey Jr. I'm rooting for the fucking Mariners. Go Mariners. Let's go. I certainly am rooting for you over fucking Texas. No one, you know, I don't have as much of a problem with the Astros as a lot of people, but still no one wants to see the Astros there again. No one wants to, you know, no one wants the Angels rewarded for their kind of behaviors over the years towards their stars and towards the shitty free agency that they do and the crappy stadium and all that. Let's go Mariners. Mariners, Orioles, ALCS. Give it to me. Feed it to me. I want it. I love it. Julio Rodriguez fucking dominating. You love to see it. You love young guys getting rewarded early in their career for what they've done. Probably left money on the table by not waiting. But like, what a great fucking thing to do if you're a franchise. Hey, you're really fucking good and you're really fucking young. Why don't we give you all the money right now and less of it later? What a great way to show that you appreciate the guys on your team. Wow, you came up and have absolutely panned out. You want $210 million as a rookie? Sure. I'll take it. The Braves have done this with all their fucking young guys. Good for it. Like, I love it.
What do you think the Mariners, you know, yesterday they were wearing the, the gold and, what era would that have been? Like, early 90s?
Yeah.
Do we prefer those uniforms over the modern day ones?
Listen, the Mariners haven't had a ton of bad uniforms. I love the Mariners modern uniform. When that, when they switched to that, it was all the rage, dude. Those early Griffey days, when they switched over, it was a big deal. So I think I prefer the aqua green and the blue. It's very more oceany and marinery. But the those throwbacks are pretty sick too. With the Triton.
Yeah.
I like the original. I like the old one with remember the Griffey rookie card with just the S. I like that too. But I think the modern unis, the ones they switched to in the mid 90s, they're pretty fucking legit. Good color scheme. The compass thing on the hat. It's all good.
I figured that was a compass. I don't pay attention.
I mean, I'm assuming that's what it is, right? You're a mariner. You're trolling the high seas.
I forget how bad they've been. Like, to think that they haven't been at first this late in the season, and there's still like 30-plus games left. You forget how just bad they've been for 20 years. It's nice when teams that suck are good. You know, it's a nice story.
I think the Mariners learned something. Like, the way that – and again, this will be a great transition into Pete Alonso. I think the Mariners learned something back in the day. Why the fuck would A-Rod ever leave? How did you ever let A-Rod leave? Why didn't A-Rod have a contract at 19? Why didn't you offer A-Rod – $200 million in 1995 at 19. The Mariners didn't have to be that bad for that long. Imagine Ichiro joining a team with A-Rod and Griffey. The Mariners have learned something. A lot of baseball teams haven't. My baseball team hasn't learned it yet. Consistency, chemistry, loyalty. I know it's a business, but this ain't basketball, man. It's not just get the best player in baseball, put him on the team, you win. If that was the case, Mike Trout would have a fucking World Series ring. Barry Bonds would have a World Series ring. You don't just get the best player and win. You can be close and add the best player and win. Pete Alonso has the rookie fucking home run record. Julio Rodriguez doesn't. But he came up and they were like, oh, you hit a whole shit ton of them. You want $200 million real quick? And now the Mets are like, oh, no, is it worth paying him? Oh, no, like, let's see. I mean, what are we looking at in the next couple of years? Oh, maybe we trade him. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. This is the exact same thing I said about Jacob deGrom. Hindsight's 20/20. DeGrom got hurt. And guess what? Even with DeGrom's injury, he is going to win more games for the Texas Rangers than Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander won for the New York Mets combined. You have to show some sort of loyalty to your baseball players that produce, because if the idea is this, again, this is not basketball. The idea that just like, we'll just replace you. There's a lot of guys on a baseball team. They all got to get along. 162 games, long season. You got to want them to want to be there, especially in a place like New York, man. It's tough playing in New York. Pete Alonso has taken it. I've never seen a player on the Mets come in and embrace being a New York Met. This is the truth. More than Pete Alonso. No one's made I'm a New York Met their personality more than Pete Alonso. And you're hemming and hawing? He should have had a deal fucking 2 years ago. Well, now we don't know what the future of the organization is. Well, why don't you get Pete Alonso signed and then figure that the fuck out after? You supposedly have all this money and you're not afraid to spend it. How come you're afraid to spend it on homegrown guys?
Well, you've turned on the owner.
I have not turned on the owner.
I think you have.
No, I have not. I still listen. The Steve Cohen situation.
It's fine if you have. That doesn't bother me.
I have not turned on Steve Cohen. What I've turned on is you need to be consistent in what you are trying to do. There is no sign of consistency, and there is no sign that anybody involved. I didn't expect Steve Cohen to know how to build a baseball team. He's not a baseball guy. He's a guy with a bunch of money. So you need guys to tell you where to spend your money. If you're prepared to go out every year and add, listen, if the Mets have Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso, and Francisco Alvarez, five position players locked in. If you have five of those position guys locked in contractually, you have a center fielder, a shortstop and a catcher, okay? That's where you win baseball games, up the middle. You have a center fielder, a shortstop, and a catcher locked in. You've gotten this second baseman in one of these trades, okay? You also have Mauricio coming up. You also have McNeil who can play second base, who you already have a contract with. If your up the middle is taken care of and you have a power-hitting first baseman, go buy the pitching. Go buy the bullpen. Go do what the Yankees did for years and have a rotating cast at third base. You know the guys who won World Series at third base for the Yankees? Charlie Hayes made that final catch in the first one they won in, what was that, 95, 96, whatever it was. Scott Brosius, Robin Ventura, Alex Rodriguez, Brett Boone. They just had a rotating cast. We have Jeter at short. We're just going to keep filling in. Oh, we had Tino Martinez at first. Then we have Jason Giambi at first. Now we have all these guys. Hey, have a rotating. Go get the fucking third baseman that's undervalued by some team every fucking year. Go do it. I don't give a shit. But you have Pete Alonso. The idea, there's just no consistency in the thought process. And if I was in the Mets front office, I'd be like, listen, you have the money and you're willing to spend it? Great. But let me tell you what's offensive to me as a Mets fan. When you're going to tell me that next year you're going to retire Daryl Strawberry's number. You're going to retire Daryl Strawberry's number and you're not sure if you want to sign long-term the guy who's about to break Daryl Strawberry's franchise home run record in fucking six full seasons. Pete Alonso is going to be the Mets' all-time home run leader in fucking June.
That's pretty crazy.
And we're going to retire Strawberry's number. Pick a fucking lane, dude. They did this with Jacob DeGrom, and that was my issue, is, well, he didn't want to be here. He wanted too much money. He wanted all these things. Why didn't you sign him the day you bought the team? He got a shit deal from the Wilpons. He signed it. He felt screwed. He comes in. He pitches great. Why didn't you sign him then? Oh, well, the injuries. Fine. Okay. But don't tell me you're not afraid to spend money and then be afraid to spend money. I just want consistency in thought.
So we have a call, a baseball-related call, but where we're at kind of more for you since you're a baseball guy. I'm going to play the call. I desperately have to take a leak.
Okay.
So I'm going to play. I'm going to pop the bathroom real quick. But here's a call. 310-359-8365 is our hotline.
Hey, guys. John, 218. I wanted an update from Prano on what he thinks of the two major in my opinion, MLB rule changes. The one being pitch count, and the other one being the runner on second base in extra innings. The latter of which is a goddamn abomination. Like, I can't even fucking watch it. Like, it's not baseball anymore. As far as the pitch count goes, my opinion of it is I think it shows the good pitchers are still good pitchers. Like, they know how to handle it. But it kind of exposes those who aren't as good at the top tier. I haven't really seen too many good bullpens lately, but curious what Crandall thinks, and Ruther, if you're watching baseball these days, I'm running with you. Stay there, bye.
Well, there's a lot. Obviously, there's a lot of rules changes going into this season. But since you asked about those two, we'll stick to those two topics. The pitch clock seems to have been accepted and been like, I don't know, the smoothness of the pitch clock working has certainly worked out. But I think with both of these questions, the answer is going to lie in the postseason. I'm not sure if do runners start on second base in the postseason? Is that still or is that not a postseason rule?
It's a good question. I'll look it up. I don't know.
Because I almost think all of both of these things, like if that's the case, if it's not, I almost think the same thing. Like, take the pitch clock out in the postseason too. Like, I'm okay with like trying to make 162 game season.
Yeah, it doesn't apply.
Right. So we know that. So that fact is like, then why are we doing any? Like, I'm not saying I think the shift should remain banned entirely, but it's like, I get trying to make the 162 game season go faster in some terms. And be safer in some terms because you don't want to shorten the season. All these numbers, it's a very historical game. All the numbers are based on 162 game season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you're trying to find a way to shorten it in a sense without actually taking games away. But then just don't have any of these as part of the postseason. Cause I really think that this is where a lot of baseball fans, casual baseball fans, should a game be decided by any of that stuff in the postseason, it's going to be a real fucking bad taste in the mouth. So if you're not doing the runner on second, why are we even doing the pitch clock? Good. It worked. People fucking accepted it. Now take it out for the postseason.
The runner on second base is insane to me.
Yeah.
That's an insane rule. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's some little league bullshit. That's something you see with a bunch of 7-year-olds. Because a lot of times it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe I have to see the stats on it. Because I feel like a lot of these games still go long because the teams just keep scoring. Because they both have the advantage of a guy starting on second base. I think Major League Baseball views this, from what I've seen, at least the stories, people view it as like a huge win with the pitch clock shortening the game. Now, has that affected turnout? I don't know. Like, has it gotten more people to the ballpark? Has it got more people watching? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they figure that out. Like what are the numbers this year for Major League Baseball is the question I would ask.
I understand that there are baseball fans that like it. They're, you know, unlike me, they want less baseball in some regard. They want a faster game. Okay, fine. You guys did this. There's no putting the fucking, you know, putting everything back in Pandora's box or whatever the fucking saying is, you know. But to me, it's like if we have rules like this, if we have rules like the second base rule, and we say this doesn't apply to extra innings in the playoffs, then like, let's have that be a bunch of rules. I understand having rules that make 162 games easier. The playoffs, let's remove them. That's my thought process with it now.
So attendance is up. It's up 9%.
Now, I had this conversation with another dirtball. There's also a lot of teams that have historically, in recent history, not been good that are good.
Sure.
I bet you Reds' attendance is way up.
It is.
I bet you Orioles' attendance is way up.
Sure.
I bet you Shohei Ohtani just existing has Angels' attendance up.
Sure, Mariners is up. Yeah. It's true when you have teams that aren't usually good. Because a lot of those teams.
And the Cubs are always going to draw people to the ballpark. I would say the
Cardinals still.
And the Cardinals are going to draw people to the ballpark. Yeah. And the Yankees are going to draw people to the ballpark. And the Mets, to some extent, are going to draw people to the ballpark. Yeah. Red Sox are always going to have people to the ballpark. Going to a Red Sox game is like, it's fucking life there. And it's the thing you do if you go to Boston.
Yeah.
You go to Chicago. You go to Wrigley.
100%. So it doesn't matter.
Diamondbacks. Bet you their attendance is way up.
Yeah, that's where, like, if you're doing an actual science experiment, that's where it's tough. Say, okay, well, attendance is up 9%. And I saw, this is from a few weeks ago, it's a total of about 4 million people. Spread that over 6-7 ball clubs that are traditionally been bad or recently bad, and now they're playing well. I mean, 4 million, like, it's not as much as you think when you spread it over those squads.
I mean, you can do the math. I mean, how far are we from the end of baseball season? 4 million divided by 6 divided by, call it 130 games. It's 5,000 more people a game. In those ballparks. Just those ballparks.
Yeah, because you're right. So I just pulled it up now. I mean, these are your top teams' attendance. Dodgers 1, Yankees 2, Cardinals, who are terrible, 3.
Always going to be there.
Yeah. Padres 4. Now, they've obviously had a disappointing season. Atlanta,
but they've 5. Also, they've had a disappointing season, but they also, they're you know, the recent history is they're going to be there. Those are good fans down there.
Sure. Braves 5, Philly 6, Toronto 7, Houston 8, Cubs 9, Mets 10, Angels 11, Boston 12. So Boston's a little down, but
I mean, those are just teams that draw.
Surprisingly, you know, Baltimore, they're still 22nd.
Yeah, but how many people are they getting to the ballpark?
Average of 23,000.
How many people do you think they got when they were bad?
That's a good question.
How many people? You would go to the Reds games last. You run by the Reds games last year. You're like, there's 8 people there.
They're averaging about, they're mid pack. They're about 24,000 something.
24,000. You tell me last year you're running, there's 19,000 people there?
Dude, not even close. Yeah, not even close. I mean that kind of is your difference. Your difference is these teams that sucked, that don't suck.
But not just teams that sucked, that don't suck, but teams that have, you know, not to shit on the Reds or shit on the Orioles or shit on whatever, but it's like there's nothing about the Great American Ballpark where people are like, oh, we go to Cincinnati fucking, you know, once every 5 years. We always go to the Great American Ballpark. Sure. And blah, blah, blah. It's like, again, the Fenway is going to fucking have people in it. It's just going to. Dodger Stadium's just going to have people in it. The cities are so fucking big.
Well, here's your difference. It's funny you bring that up. I mean, here it is. So, like, last year, Baltimore averaged 17,054. They're averaging 23,413.
6,000 fans.
Reds last year averaged 17,447. This year they're up 7,000. So do the math.
I was talking about 5,000 makes the difference. That's two teams right there. It's already over that number.
Yeah. It would be interesting if they were still sucked. I don't know. Anyway, it's an interesting discussion. I guess we're never going to know.
Yeah.
All right, let's hop into the comment section. Comment for Prano popping up. Hey, Prano, how come you don't sport that beard anymore?
It's a great question. I was thinking about taking the mustache off recently. I was thinking about maybe pulling the mustache down. The beard has basically always been a thing where it's like I hated shaving. So I would shave clean and then I'd let the whole beard come in, rock the beard for a while. And then when I got sick of having the beard, the mustache would come. I don't know. It's something about the mustache over the last, I don't know, call it 4 or 5 years. Like just the way people like it, it almost feels like, especially in LA in and around comedy, it's like people like, it's like a signature move, you know? So it just like kind of became a thing where it was like, all right, well, I'm that guy, you know, auditions I get are for like the mustached guy and whatever. It's like, it's just become a thing, but the beard could be back. I don't think the beard will ever be like a full-time thing again, but it never really was a full-time thing. It just kind of came and went. But it could, you know what? It might make an appearance soon. The mustache could become a clean shave, could become a beard, could become a mustache again before New Orleans.
Guess you'll have to be there to find out.
Yeah.
Although that was Josue. Remember Josue? We met him at the Rams game. A Saints fan.
Yeah.
I believe he's a Southern California guy, though.
Yeah. Come down to the Saints game, bro.
I mean, come on.
No, I've already started thinking about what I'm wearing to the Saints Giants game in December. Is that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
I do have a Giants Christmas sweater. Seems like a week out from Super Bowl or a week out from Christmas is the time to pull that out, right? People will be in costume. Might have to get a Giants Santa hat, possibly. I'm still looking. I got to get in touch with Randy Ruther. I'm still looking to get my hands on a Eli Manning Newman high school jersey for those Saturday events.
Well, that's hilarious, by the way, that you're thinking about what you're going to wear. I don't think I've ever thought ahead about what I'm going to wear. As we all know, I get dunked on so hard about my outfits. Just nonstop. And I don't care. Sweatpants is what I'm rocking right now.
I mean, what percentage of your day do you think is spent in sweatpants? Either a merch t-shirt that you got, a Dirty Sports merch, a Miller Lite merch, Reds merch, whatever.
It's pretty high.
And then, I mean, you rock the Prize Picks hat like daily.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I rock it. I rock free stuff pretty much.
You know, listen, when I go on the road, it's amazing. I'll go into my bag. I'm like, it's amazing how much fucking Miller Lite gear I like bring with me. But some of it's so great.
Yeah.
I think maybe the I'm going to put my top 3 Miller Lite merches that they ever hooked us up with. Those tan sweatshirts, those tan hoodies are bomb.
Those are great at night. I like
the waterproof hat. Is my go-to pool hat. And then the long sleeve tie dyes. Just like I should have taken one and kept it in the bag. That's gonna be a vintage piece one day.
My go-to pool Miller Lite shirt is that silk one.
Oh yeah. The button up, you're saying.
The button up.
Yeah, that is a fine piece as well.
That's a great one. You go into the pool. All right, let's hear from the Dirtballs. 310-359-8365. That's our hotline, and we'll start off with this one.
Yo, what's going on, Dirty Sports? Hunter from Michigan. Just left a pretty bad call, so here's my take two. My question today is, what band or artist encapsulates or, I guess, draws the most similarities to Andy Ruther and Joe Prano? I have an answer for Andy Ruther. I have not been able to figure one out for Joe Prano yet. My answer for Andy Ruther is Hollywood Undead. It's a band that started out and it was like a white rap group And they talked about a lot of like degenerate type stuff, you know, drinking, partying, just always being blackout drunk, doing a bunch of drugs, just complete crazy type stuff. And now if you listen to their albums, they've like completely turned over a new leaf. They're talking about like taking care of yourself, living the life that you want to live, you know, positivity, all this type of stuff. It's a complete 180 degree flip. And this, you know, does draw a lot of similarities to Andy Ruther and the way his life has changed over the course of this podcast. I still can't find one for Joe Prano, though. So if you have another one for Andy Ruther, that would be perfectly fine as well. But my question, yeah, today is what band or artist kind of draws the most similarities in their journey or I guess just in their albums between Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Thanks. Have a good day.
Can you pick somebody we didn't fucking know, bro?
I mean, it sounds pretty spot on, though. I kind of like it. We might have to play some Hollywood Undead. I might have to listen to it.
I mean, so this is these guys. This is Hollywood Undead.
I've never heard of this band before in my whole life.
Like, I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I know we can't play it because of YouTube, but we'll have to I'll have to listen to it something because I've never heard it before in my life. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't think I have an answer for myself. Maybe this is something that we put out. This is a call that inspires other calls. Maybe there's, you know, he obviously, that's a pretty well thought out answer for you. And I like his justification for it. He hasn't been able to come up with one for me. Maybe there are other dirtballs out there. I feel like this is a Kyle Aronofsky, like bat signal call. I feel like there's never been a call that he could tackle more. I'm not sure what the answer is. You know,
I mean, we all know Tupac for me. It's Tupac. We embody the same lifestyle.
Yeah. So you say, listen, like, I've related a lot to Sturgill Simpson over the years and how his point of view has changed. I also did just go to the Strokes and listen, like, guys that are kind of my age got into the game in early 2000s, probably partied a little too hard in the early 2000s, leveled out a little bit, but have still had their ups and downs where sometimes they show up drunk and sometimes they don't. Recently said, hey, maybe we're done. Supposedly at the end of the New York show that they just did, they said they might be done. It's like, you know, the lifespan of us, just from the New Yorkness, the partying, and then maybe also just both being done with all this nonsense. It could be them.
Yeah. You gotta nothing against this band that he offered, but I know he's young. So like, we gotta get, you know, something that's maybe a little more relatable. I don't know.
You're more of an Elton John. You got sober later in life.
Is he sober?
He's sober.
Well, I'm coming out of the closet today, guys. I'm officially Elton John. Like, when did he come out of the closet?
Pretty young.
No, I think he was married.
Yeah, but I think he came out of the closet. Like, which, I mean, by it's a while way. Ago now.
Was it the duck suit that gave it away? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course. Donald Duck.
The Donald Duck suit.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Elton John had to hide that he was gay is probably, like, an all-time. You're like, really? Like, nobody was like, come on, dude. Like, we know. It's all good. Remember when him and Eminem did a song together?
Yeah.
Which, at the time, was pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge deal.
Like, especially for Elton John to do that.
But also, remember when, like, he was Eminem was getting a lot of shit about being homophobic.
100% for second.
Because everything was, you know, the shit he would say in his songs.
Rappers get the pass, man.
Yeah,
you ever notice
that? He didn't get the pass back in the day. Remember, people went after him pretty hard for the.
No, he didn't. I remember.
He was talking about killing his girlfriend, and he was talking about all that shit.
No, I remember the protest.
Yeah,
I remember the protest, but I think in general, musicians.
Dude, I like Eminem a lot. Eminem's like,
he's all time, man.
He's a good fucking dude too. You hear him talk about shit. He's a good dude. Him and 50. Me and my girlfriend loved sitting in bed and just like watch 50 videos on like TikTok, him on interviews, him on whatever. 50 Cent's a good dude. You remember when he called out Floyd and Floyd Mayweather for not being able to read?
I forgot about that.
He's just like, bro, if you read a page of Harry Potter, I'll give you fucking.
I forgot.
Epic. The all time greatest troll move of all time. I'll give you money just to read.
And he said Harry Potter of all the things he chose.
I think he said Cat in the Hat, too. He was like, I think he eventually was like, we know you can't read Harry Potter, so we just read Cat in the Hat.
You think Floyd Mayweather really can't read?
Bro, if you could read, and somebody was like, all you got to do is read, wouldn't you just fucking read? Like, if I could read, I would troll 50 Cent back by, like, reading some fucking shit about 50 Cent, right?
Okay, dude, I gotta play this. You're right. I forgot about this. This is fucking hilarious. This was an all time. This is an all time move right here.
Woke up. I look at the computer. The computer say, Floyd say, fuck T.I., fuck Nelly, fuck 50. I'm like, what do you say fuck me for? Nelly fucked your first baby mama, Melissa, then took your fucking fiance. Say fuck that nigga. This is a special ASLELS challenge for you, Floyd. If you can read one full page of a Harry Potter book, nigga, I'll give $750,000 to whatever charitable organization you want to. Fuck the bucket of ice, man. Phone call from my man Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy said if Floyd accepts the challenge, then he'll put it on the actual show so you can read it on the show. We don't want to put pressure on you. We know you can't pronounce those words in that Harry Potter book, so we're going to let you read Cat in the Hat.
It's all time. Oh, God, that's funny. You know what's crazy? Like, that was like, what, like 10 years ago? Imagine that now. Like, social media has gotten so much crazier in 10 years. He did the Cat in the Hat, too.
Kyle Aronofsky, listening live, by the way, has weighed in. He said, excellent pull of Hollywood Undead for Reuther. A more mainstream, stiller one is probably Metallica. Post Denting Sobriety would be the Black Album. And he agrees. The Strokes came to mind. He said, Crazy Girlfriends, Infidelity, NYC, Alcohol.
That's hilarious.
No heroin, thankfully.
That's hilarious. What's funny about that 50 Cent thing is that was during the ALS challenge.
Yeah. Fuck the, he goes, fuck the ice.
So he offered him 750 grand.
Three Cat in the Hat on Jimmy Kimmel. But bro, if you could read, wouldn't you just like find like the craziest fucking story about 50 Cent and just like read that? Like there was talk of 50 Cent was on the down low for a while. You remember that?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
Wasn't he dating Vivica A. Fox and she said like he only wanted to do butt stuff or whatever?
Yeah.
Like I would have shown up and read that story. You know what I mean? But I don't think he can read.
Well, we don't know. He didn't confirm.
I know. But I'm saying when you don't confirm, aren't you confirming? It's not that hard. Like if you said right now.
You're telling me Floyd Mayweather is worth all that money. He's got all those, not just from fighting, his own promotion company. So you would say he's business savvy and he can't read? You know how insane that is.
But bro, my point is, it's not that's, fucking hard.
I know, but that's hilarious if true.
Like, just be like, Prano, you can't read right now. I'd be like, okay, well, this says, you know, this is some fucking scripts. The energy you'd expect from a Philly police station. Joe and Crunch. Like, I can read. I just showed you I can read. Like, I'll send this to you. I just like, it's not hard to prove that you can read.
I know, but that's my, what I'm asking. Why would he not prove?
Because he can't read, dude. I think this is what I'm trying to tell you.
So Floyd Mayweather can't read.
I think that's what 50 Cent had knew going into this situation.
Which is hilarious.
I mean, I'm not going to shame a guy for being illiterate. But it is wild.
It's nuts. I'm going to shame a guy. Come on, dude. You got all that money. You get hooked on phonics. I mean, do something.
He doesn't need to read.
Like, do something.
He doesn't need to. He's made more money than we'll ever see. He's made more money than the Ruther bloodline. He did it without reading. It's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's really impressive. Who needs school when you can dodge punches, man?
Yeah. He can read those hands.
I want another beef, man. We need to get 50 Cent back in the limelight. When was the last time he put out an album?
I don't know. Love the guy, though.
Hilarious. Speaking of guys you love, we got a call from one of them.
Andy Ruther, Joe Prado, is that all you're on? I hear you're meeting up in my neck of the woods for some kind of 1,000th episode party. When am I going to get my invitation? I understand that I'm not a head coach no more, but I should be invited to the show. I've been on the show. I've had nothing in my coach oatmeal box. Now, Andy Ruther, our Gators out in December. What kind of a fucking question is that? Gators out all the time looking for fresh meat. Alligators are fascinating, Andy Ruther said. Yeah, fascinating till they got hold of your dick. Stay the fuck away from the alligators when you in the bayou. Fuck. Also, watch out for my Bengal tiger. That motherfucker escaped the other week. He ain't coming home. He's on the lookout for flesh. You dirtballs get all drunk, wander off. Go is gonna get you. My tiger's name is Go. Go tiger. Watch out. You see him, trip the slowest guy and get the fuck out of there.
Trip the
you
slowest
guy. You can stay in my place. If there's a room, I'm gonna have college girls over. And no videos. Coach Orgeron out.
You know, first of all, thank you for calling, Coach. This does bring up a great point. Where does Coach O live these days? Is he just like in Baton Rouge? If anybody has an actual connection to Coach Ed Orgeron, slide into my DMs on any platform. Coach O on the 1,000th episode.
Oh my God.
Being interviewed by Coach O would truly be like the Galaxy Brain 1,000th. I'd offer him money to be there. Not that he needs it. He got fucking tens of millions of dollars from.
So this is an article talking about him on the in his condo, the 37th floor overlooking Miami Beach, which is hilarious.
Amazing.
So I don't know where he lives.
He's down there somewhere, though. I'm safe to say he doesn't live in New Hampshire. Safe to say he lives within spitting distance.
Yeah, so I think I said alligators. They do not hibernate.
Guys, if I were you, I'd buy tickets to the 1,000th episode today. Guests may include, but are not limited to, Coach Ed Orgeron, Eli Manning.
Bro, this is crazy. They don't hibernate. They brumate. B-R-U-M-A-T. They don't enter a state of hibernation. They still move under brumation, but they are aware of their surroundings. They brumate in the bottom of a bayou or swamp and resurface once a day just to breathe.
Can they read, though?
100%. Bro, too funny. Would love Coach O there, man. Coach O is...
We need to get Coach O and Eli Manning on the 1,000th episode.
They need their own Manning cast.
Eli Manning's still on Twitter, right? I might have to jump back on X just to invite him to the...
I'm sure he'll respond.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's what's going to happen. The second this show ends, I'm going to get on X from Dirty Sports account and invite Eli Manning to the 1,000th episode of the Dirty Sports podcast. If you're listening to this anytime within 5 minutes of the end of the show, you could go and reply to that and tell him to come.
And Coach O's not on any social media. So
no, I don't think, because he can't read.
Coach O can read.
Coach O can for sure read.
Floyd Mayweather can't read.
No.
So like Floyd Mayweather, when he's posting stuff on Instagram, you don't know like who's writing the captions. His team?
The money team, bro.
Remember when he came out with Bieber to a fight?
Yeah.
What happened to Bieber? What is Bieber doing these days?
Oh, Bieber's killing it, bro.
Is he brewmating? Where is he hiding under a swamp? Where's
nah,
he?
Man,
going?
He's married to fucking Haley Baldwin.
I know, but did he?
They just
he,
go out and do shit.
But he like
he put out Peaches last year. Remember?
No, I don't. Missed it.
It was a big song. Is that last year? It was 2 years ago. It's all blur since COVID. Sometime in the last 3 years, he put out fucking a song.
All right. Well, 310-359-8365. That's the hotline.
Shows in and around Los Angeles the next couple of weeks, Andy. Los Angeles, Hollywood Improv on this Thursday. Down in San Diego in a couple of weeks. I'm doing Laugh City over there in like Atwater Village Saturday. Come out to a show in LA or come out to a show in Vegas end of October for Giants at Raiders and Halloween. Come out to a show in Alaska in November. Come out to a show in your town by harassing the comedy club owners there and telling them that they need to have me come headline. Or, of course, come out to the 1,000th episode of the Dirty Sports Podcast, followed by two shows. Me, Andy, bunch of friends of the show doing stand-up, Giants at Saints at the Caesars Superdome. It's going to be a band. Eli Manning's going to be there. Coach Ed Orgeron's going to be there. Floyd Mayweather's going to come and read from Matty Goldberg's Brain Humor. It's going to be just an absolute epic episode. So come down there and get your tickets now. They're available. All those tickets are available. Follow me on Instagram, at Joe Prano. TikTok, at Joe Prano. Big things to come on all of our social media, so follow us today. Tweet at Eli Manning. Tell him to get there.
Yeah, the Dirty Sports on social. All right, guys. We hope to see you down in New Orleans. Football starts next week, so we'll be doing a full preview next Thursday. Have a great week. We'll see you guys on this Thursday. And as always, stay dirty.